You're listening to Colourful.
Got to say thank you very much to Calvin in France for the last couple of hours. Hope you have a nice weekend, my man. And it's Brad Lee taking you through till 6 o'clock this evening. And I'm glad to be joined by the man himself, Mr. Nile Rodgers. You're actually in America at the moment, so it's about 11 o'clock in the morning. How's things over there?
The weather is great. I'm fantastic, and things couldn't be better right now.
Good stuff. Brilliant stuff. Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you this afternoon here in England, particularly here on a Colourful Radio with me, Bradley. Now, really, what I want to talk to you about is, are you actually looking forward for next week when you actually come over to London to actually perform for us?
Yeah, it's going to be great. You know, I've had a... It's been an interesting year for me, to say the least, and I can't wait to play. This will be my first live show my first full live Chic show, we'll say that.
Brilliant.
So it's going to be great.
Well, I think everybody's actually looking forward to it, particularly myself, because I'm going to be down there, and no doubt I'll be getting down to a few of the tunes, like, of course, the Le Freaks, the I Want Your Love, and everything else that comes with it, and obviously when it comes to the man himself, Mr. Nile Rodgers. Now, let's actually delve back, really, to the early part of the 70s, when you actually got together, when you and Bernard Edwards actually got together. What was it like? And the sort of music you was playing then wasn't quite disco and soul as we know it, is it?
Well, it was the sort of jazz-influenced instrumental R&B, sort of like, Kool and the Gang, yeah. Herbie Hancock, Headhunters, things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, brilliant.
And that sort of morphed into what we now consider disco.
Yeah.
But it was really, really sort of instrumental club music. People liked dancing to the music and to the groove, and that's sort of the beginning of Chic. That's where we got our sound. So once we learned how to write songs and to put lyrics to it, you know, everything developed for us great. You know, we did Sister Sledge, which I think is our finest hour, when we did We Are Family in that album.
Excellent.
And then after the Disco Sucks movement, which hit us hard in America, we did Diana Ross, and we wound up doing her biggest album. And you know, I don't have to probably tell you the history.
Absolutely.
To Bowie and Duran Duran and Madonna and all that sort of thing.
Even down to NXS as well, I've actually read.
NXS, right.
My goodness.
Huge move for me, because that was that was sort of the bridge to Duran Duran, which is the group that I've probably worked with the longest in my career.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. You've also worked with Michael Jackson as well. And so what was he actually like to actually work with?
Michael was fantastic. I mean, the work that I did with him on record was actually, I mean, really, really easy. I worked on one song on History. He knew what he wanted. We mainly spent more time talking and reminiscing, because Bernard Edwards and I, my former partner, we were in a band called New York City, and we were on the American leg of the Jackson 5's first world tour in 1973.
Right.
So Michael and I have had known each other since we were teenagers.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. Now, here's another thing I really wanted to ask you about. Now, you've kind of sort of brushed over the fact with the track called Le Freak, which really is one of your biggest, well, for me, it's one of the biggest ones that I can actually remember dancing to as well. Now, with Le Freak, how did that actually come about? Now, is there an unofficial version, or is it an official version of how Le Freak actually came about?
No, there's only one way it came about,
which is
the official and unofficial. There's just the way.
But keep it clean, please.
Yeah, well, don't worry. We were we were invited to Studio 54 New Year's Eve 1977, going into 78, by Grace Jones. She had wanted us to work on producing her next record, which is a pretty revolutionary thing, because at that point we only had one Chic album. But she heard something in us, and so she invited us down, and she believed that the best way that we could understand who she was as an artist was to see her live show. We went to the back door, which is what she told us to do, you know, darling, go to the stage entrance. We went to the stage entrance, and the security people basically slammed the door in our face and told us to F off.
Right.
And we were like, well, we thought that, well, okay, we knew that we weren't going to get in the Studio 54 that night, so we went around the corner to my apartment, and we started jamming on a groove, and it turned from F off to, we were singing, ah, F off, F Studio 54.
Uh-huh.
And Bernard recognized that that was really commercial and had potential, but we knew we couldn't get that on the radio, so we changed it to Freak Off, which was a euphemism for the F-bomb.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, we turned it into Freak Out, and it was the biggest record of our lives, the only triple platinum single in the history of Atlantic Records.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. So just one for a little minor discretion. In actual fact, you really got to thank the Studio 54 Bouncers for that, really, don't you?
Indeed. You know, had they let us in, we would have never written that song because we were well on our way to finishing the songs for the second Chic album. And maybe I Want Your Love would have been our first single, which did very well. It was a, you know, a platinum single, but hardly a triple platinum single.
Right, absolutely. That's an absolutely fascinating story. As well as, and very just quickly, going on to the fact that you've also got a new book out as well in October. Well, it's actually already come out, really, hasn't it? Called Le Freak, believe it or not.
Yes.
And I've read some snippets from it, and absolutely very, very good reading. It just goes through all of your life, goes through all of the bands you've worked with, and particularly the fact that when you actually jammed with Jimi Hendrix, is that right?
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, the rock and roll business wasn't anything like it is now. Stars, especially in my neighborhood in Greenwich Village in New York, stars were very accessible. You know, I'd see people like Jeff Beck, Jethro Tull, Hendrix, Johnny Winter, people like that, really famous people were in our neighborhood jamming at all the different bars. And what happened, we were just doing a jam session, and Hendrix walked in with a kid who was a good friend of ours named Velvet, who was part of Hendrix's entourage. And we all jammed, and we played on this sort of early morning freeform jam. And at the end, remember, this sounded brilliant to us. And at the end, Jimmy's voice went, did anybody record that, man? Because the jam was at a recording studio, but unfortunately the engineer was, you know, participating in the jam session and playing and not recording.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Now, with your albums and certain tracks you've actually made on your albums, there's been a lot of sort of French words that you've actually used. Now, this is one thing, when I've bought all your albums, I've noticed from the very early part of Chic, from 1977 through to about sort of 1979, things like C'est Chic, you've got Savoir-Faire, you've got just loads of others. What is it with the French language that you actually used on the albums? Was that a conscious thing, or was it the fact that you just liked the French accent?
Yeah, basically what we were doing is, we were an urban New York funk kind of outfit, and basically what we wanted to do was we wanted to have this totally immersive artistic experience. We had gotten the idea from Roxy Music and Kiss, so we thought that if we were the ultimate sophisticated band, we would be from France. We just made it all up. So in rock and roll, a little bit goes a long way.
Yeah.
So on our first album, we had a song called Est-ce que c'est chic? And then on the second album, we had, Le Freak. And these were all just, I hate to use the word gimmick because people don't realize that when you say, they think that that's a lower term.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it was part of a concept. So I guess concept sounds better than a gimmick.
Absolutely.
But it was really just a concept. It was creating an artistic framework that we could occupy while we were doing chic music.
Right, I see. And the record company really didn't really mind you actually sort of saying that and doing that, did they? Did you have kind of free reins at the record company?
The great thing about our lives when it came to recording was we were sort of hands-off because no one understood us.
Yeah.
They actually just thought we were going to be one-hit wonders.
Uh-huh.
So it was no reason to get that involved because they didn't think we'd be around that long. And then after we did Le Freak and got, the only triple platinum record they've ever had, and Atlantic, is a very illustrious label, They figured either we knew what we were doing or they would just let us go until we crashed and burned. They were sort of right. I mean, the whole Disco Sucks movement, we wound up crashing and burning with our next record, but we also did maybe one of our greatest compositions, which was Good Times, which, led to, Rapper's Delight, Another One Bites the Dust, Radio Clash, New Sensation by INXS. So there were many records that copied us. And also, it sort of solidified our musicianship and musicality with the rock world, because then I went on, as soon as I left Chic, my first artist that I produced was David Bowie, was Let's Dance.
Let's Dance,
I did his biggest album, and on and on and on.
Brilliant.
Now, you know that when we do our chic stuff, you know, yeah. it's basically the chic organization. So we don't just do chic songs. We do chic songs and productions.
Right,
so our live shows are really, really dynamic and robust. You hear a ton of songs and you go, oh, my God, he wrote that too? Oh, God.
So you are going to be delving into really the Eric Clapton, the David Bowies, the Dinah Rosses, the Madonnas, even down
absolutely.
To, even down to
absolutely.
Sister Sledge.
Absolutely. Our show is very, most of the time, unfortunately, we only have an hour and a half to 2 hours. So since we have to get all the hits in, the
yeah.
big surprises are the things that we wind up sort of doing as encores, or if somebody shouts out something.
Yeah.
Like the last tour that we did in Europe, we started pulling out some real gems that no one expected.
Brilliant. Now, with your lineup of your musicians, I mean, obviously after with the passing away of Bernard Edwards, with your bass player, was it something that you had to look for? Who was he actually looking for in a bass player?
Well, the thing is, whenever I audition any bass player, yeah. all I do is have them play Everybody Dance and Dance, Dance, Dance.
Right.
If they come close to something that sounds like that, then I believe they're great, because those songs are impossible to play.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to be a real virtuoso to play those songs and have them feel the way that it was composed originally.
So the bass player you've actually got on Thursday, you are very, very happy with him, and we will be looking forward to actually a great, great night down in the HMV.
Thank you much. Yeah, not only will you love the bass playing,
yeah.
you'll love everything about it. You'll love the singing, the bass playing, the choreography. You'll absolutely love the guitar
really
playing. And you'll love the songs, and it's a fantastic night.
And your vocalists as well. Now, I'm a bit of an anorak, I have to admit this, because I know quite a lot about you guys and Chic and stuff. Now, I know that you're from the original vocalist was Norma Jean Wright. Now, how on earth did you get Norma Jean Wright? Did you actually know anything about her back in 1977?
We didn't know anything about her. She actually only did one record with us,
yeah.
Because after she did the first record, which actually she didn't sing on the original record that got us the deal, which was Dance, 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 Yowza, Yowza, Yowza.
Uh-huh.
But she did sing Everybody Dance. But after that first album, we got her own solo deal. And the two girls most associated with Chic were Lucy Martin and Alpha Anderson.
Uh-huh.
They were the ones, you know, on the second album.
Uh-huh.
But, we didn't know anything about her. And basically, we auditioned people.
Yeah.
We got recommendations from people. And the main reason why we hired Norma was not only because she could sing, but because she was sort of unknown in the New York scene, and it would perfectly fit with our sort of what we call the chic mystique.
Uh-huh.
We wanted to be mysterious. We wanted to be like the Wizard of Oz and hide behind the curtain, so to speak. We wanted the music to be the star, because we didn't feel like we physically were stars. We didn't look like stars. We certainly didn't act like stars. And we just wanted the music to speak for us.
Well, I think you've actually done that far beyond sort of like a recognition, really. And your music actually still being played now. We've been playing some music in the background, all the chic stuff, like Strike Up the Band, one of my favourites, I have to admit. And also Chic Cheer as well. So there we go. And as I said, you'll be down performing along with Chic on the 10th of November. That's next week, Thursday, at the London HMV Forum. And I'll be down there. I'm going to be shutting my stuff, no doubt there. And you will be performing live. You'll be doing your bit, and I'm sure you'll be rocking the venue next week.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We played there only a few months ago, and
that's
it was
right,
extraordinary.
Yeah.
Brian Ferry came over. It was mm-hmm. unbelievable. It was really, really amazing. And every time we play in London, you know, so many of my friends pop by because, you know, when you think about it, look how many artists I've worked with from England.
Absolutely.
You know, Sting and Bowie and Duran and Brian, and it's a long list of artists. Jeff Beck.
That is what I call an absolute A-list of name dropping. I've got to admit that one. That is absolutely brilliant stuff.
But it really is just my life. I mean, you know, almost all those people I've won Grammys with and have done really great records, and they've enriched my life immensely, and it amazes me whenever they show up to a gig, and it's great.
Well, put it this way, you've enriched my life, and you have enriched millions of other people around the world with your music of Chic. Nile Rodgers, it's an absolute pleasure talking to you today, and thank you very much for taking the time out to actually come onto Colourful Radio and just telling us your thoughts, telling us your past and everything, and actually look forward to it for coming down and joining you next week.
Thanks, man. Look forward to seeing you, and this was really great of you to have me on the show. Thanks,
not
man.
A problem at all. I'll do it again if I can. All right.
Okay,
thank
cool.
You.
I'll hold you to it.
Absolutely. And I will see you next week, Thursday. How's that?
Great. I'll see you at the show, man.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
All right, man.
Thank
Cheers.
You. That is Nile Rodgers actually calling all the way from New York and in America, and brilliant stuff. Let me just leave with this one.
Colourful Drive Time with Brad Lee.